and it was true. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. This is the second Sunday of 2023, January 8th. We are still thinking of it being the new year. You probably hadn't got used to writing 2023 on your checks yet. I wrote my first one and had scribbled 22 out and put 23, you know. I want us to remember it's a new year and keep our focus on the Lord and our commitments to do the things that we need to do that we think about at the beginning of the year. But soon, it being a new year, will be forgotten. It will become the usual thing for us to talk about 2023 instead of 2022. And when it becomes a usual thing, we're in danger of slipping back into the comfort zone of how we live without doing the things that we need to do, that we've committed to renew in our life or begin to do that are pleasing to the Lord. I want us to focus on our purpose of putting Christ first in our life. I mean, focus on it. Think about it. Commit ourselves to it. Lord, you are worthy to be first place in my life. You're worthy to be first place in what we do in this church. I want to keep that focus. I want us to keep our eyes on the Lord. And to do that, we'll have to study His Word. We'll have to keep up our prayer life. We will need to be faithful in our church attendance and do the things that we can do so the Holy Spirit can work through us and accomplish His work. If sin creeps into our life, let us immediately confess it to God and forsake it. Let us seek from the Word strength to overcome what we faltered in. And God will bless us in this and help us in this, and we can rely upon Him to do that for us. I know Tina Templeton today is at home. She may be watching the service. She's been suffering so long and hurting so long, and she's come down with this stuff going around like the flu, and she's just real discouraged right now. She needs the comfort of the Lord. She needs the help of God. Some of you ladies that are faithful to do, and Brother Pete, send out a card or something. Maybe encourage her through a card and remember her in your prayers. In Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdoms to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I ask you to guide me as I speak. I pray that you'd empower me by the Spirit to say exactly what you would have to be said this morning in this place. Bless these people for coming today. We're thankful for their faithfulness in the church, and we're thankful for you to provide this place for us. We offer you our praise and our thanksgiving, and we show our appreciation in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw two couples I did not recognize this morning. You may have been here before. A couple over here, good to have you here today. And on the very back here beside Gary, good to have you folks. And this handsome couple up here in the middle, that's Jim and Carol from Pennsylvania. Everybody thought they were members for a long time. They came and stayed a while, and they have a daughter, I believe. Is she still in Tiga K? Fort Mill, okay. And you had a grandson, I remember for sure. Ian, that's right. He came for a while by himself even, you know. Ohio. Maybe that's where I had Ohio on the brain, you know. Jim said, "No, Pennsylvania, it's not Ohio." So we're glad to see you folks. I'm glad to have you here, and all of you, thank you for being here today. May the Lord bless you for your faithfulness and meet your needs and guide your life. We're going to think about this name, Wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. We sang about that a few moments ago in two of the songs that we sang, how wonderful the Lord is, how wonderful He is to us, how wonderful are the works that God hath done, and how wonderful is the future for believers and all that He is creating for us, a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. His birth was wonderful. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied 700 years before His birth that Christ would be born of a virgin. And that took place. We read about it in the New Testament, the fulfillment. And His name would be called Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. Jesus brought God in the flesh for us. It wasn't God that had sinned that needed to be punishment for sin. It was man who sinned and needed to be punished. And so Jesus became a man so He could take our punishment when He died on the cross. And hallelujah, He rose again from the dead and holds the keys of death and hell. Wonderful. A wonder. It's wonderful how He provided salvation for us. It is an amazing thing. It is a wonder that He would die on the cross to pay for the sins of all men and be buried and carry sin away and rise again from the dead, alive forevermore. He is wonderful. The Hebrew word wonderful is pele. It can be translated a miracle. It can be defined as marvelous, a thing of wonder. The root of that word in the Hebrew language, pala, is to distinguish, to make great, a marvelous thing or a marvelous work is wonderful. In the Greek that the New Testament is written in, wonderful can be translated from the Greek word dunamis, which means power. Dunamis, we get our English word dynamic from that, and dynamite and those kind of things. It is powerful. It's usually attached to a second word when it is wonderful translated from dunamis, like mighty works that were done by Jesus, wonderful works that He did among the people, magnificent works. And these emphasize exalted level of what He did. There's another Greek word, teres, which is wonder. It means strange, causing one to marvel. It is supernatural. When Jesus did miracles in the New Testament, they were a sign to the Hebrew people that He was the Messiah, that He was there as God to them and representing God in every way. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to His disciples, "You have seen Me, you have seen the Father." They are one and the same. Wonderful, inspiring, delightful, a pleasure, a wondrous administration of the works that He does. There are similar words to that word wonderful: marvelous, magnificent, glorious, delightful. Charles Darwin, the father of the teaching of evolution of the species, said a whale is the most wonderful animal in the world. Well, I want him to know that Jesus is far above any creature or any of the creation. Greater than Solomon in all His glory is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote a prophecy of the virgin birth, and now he's saying that this child will be born and a son is given, and the government of Israel would rest upon His shoulders. He's going to be crowned King of kings and Lord of lords one day in His kingdom. And the fulfillment of these passages of scriptures will find their complete end in that day when His kingdom is set up. We think on these wondrous things and this wonderful person. We know there's wonder in His name. When Jesus was born, the angels said, "You call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." That's wonderful. Jesus, the name Jesus is wonderful. If you're saved, you think about everything in salvation is owed to Jesus Christ, who is wonderful. He is wonderful to us. Jesus. No other can do the things that Jesus did. There are 35 separate miracles, not counting salvations, in the New Testament. Some of them are repeated as you read the Gospels. You might find the same account in the second Gospel. So there are 20 miracles recorded in Matthew. There are 18 recorded in Mark, 20 recorded in Luke, and 7 in John, for a total of 65 miracles. But some of those are the same, as I said, repeated in the Gospels. There's 35 separate ones that our Lord did, calming the storm, raising the dead. But added to that are the thousands of souls that were saved. To transform a sinner into a saint of God is a miracle, my friends. And if you're saved today, it's happened to you. It's important that we seek to live for the Lord and focus on Him being wonderful to us. It'll help us not to sin against Him. It'll help us to be a witness to others of all the wonderful things that He has done for us all. May we continue to serve Him and live for Him in this day. Secondly, I want to point out to you from Psalms, in Psalm 77. We'll look at two passages, Psalm 77 and Psalm 8. Psalm 77 and verse number 11. This is a psalm of Asaph, not of David. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people." The wonders of what He does, the amazing things that He does. Turn over to Psalm 8. I'll get there in just a moment. "Thou art the God that doest wonders." All these names and descriptive phrases about the Lord. Jesus has many ascribed to Him, and He is wonderful. He's distinguished from all other mankind, unique and wondrous in His person of who He is. The shepherds were in amazement when the angels appeared to them and gave them the news of His birth. They wondered at the things that were said to them from the angels. Hebrews is very clear that Jesus is greater than angels. To the angels are servants of God. Jesus is the Son of God. The angels bow and worship Him. Jesus receives their worship and their praise because He is worthy of all worship and adoration. And the psalmist said in Psalm 8, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." The creation acknowledges Jesus. It responds to him when he calls to it. He told the storm, "Peace, be still." And a storm that had seasoned fishermen afraid for their life was immediately calm and still at his word. The creation obeys him. Jesus said, throw your net over there. And they filled it with fish so much they had to call other boats to help them to get all the fish in. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly how to gather them for his people. Jesus could take a few pieces of bread and a few little fish and break them and multiply them with his blessing and feed 5,000 people who hadn't eaten all day and had traveled to follow him to hear him speak. I think often of this Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We are the dust of the ground, and the only thing good about us is God and what he has done breathing life into us. And by receiving Christ as our Savior, he has given us eternal life in the same way by placing his Spirit within us in our testimony of faith in Christ. Men seek excitement and thrills, but that's much different than the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ being wonderful. Christ's wonder affects the heart, the mind, and the will of man. It humbles us. It changes us. I want to read Revelation chapter 1. I'll turn there quickly. I got it marked. If you want to look at it, it's Revelation 1, verse 17 through 19. John, the disciple, saw Jesus resurrected from the dead as he's penning, given the word of Revelation to write. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. John was the beloved disciple that laid his head upon the chest of our Lord and Savior during the Passover. He was the youngest of the disciples. No doubt he probably outlived all the others. It is in the 90s of AD when Revelation is written. And John, this beloved disciple, is exiled on the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Roman Empire had become very hard upon Christians and Jews because they would not worship the idols of the Roman Empire and they would not cooperate with them. Jesus, who's wonderful in his glory, appeared to John and he fell at his feet as if he were dead. He is wonderful. He is worthy of all praise and glory and adoration. In Revelation 5, the cherubim in heaven worship him and offer him praise. The elders in heaven offer him praise. Jesus is wonderful in the amazing birth, the incarnation where he took on flesh. Jesus is that Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is wonderful, and he is the one who did all the miracles of the New Testament. They were amazing wonders that he did. Cana of Galilee was called Galilee of the Gentiles, and that's where Jesus spent the most of his time. And there, the Bible says from Isaiah, a prophecy, they will see a great light in Galilee. Jesus is the great light that they saw. And you and I are given the light of God if we believe on him for salvation. Jesus' first miracle was at Cana of Galilee at a wedding for a young couple. And they ran out of wine, and he turned the water into wine, filled 6 big containers with water. And when they poured them out, it was wine that came out. And it was good wine. That word good means without defilement. Bad wine is alcoholic content defiled because it has to go through fermentation, which is a death process. But this wine was without fermentation. I believe that with all my heart from my other scriptures teaching on strong drink and the condemnation of it. The Bible teaches as Christians we should stay away from anything that would cause us to say and do things that would not be led of the Spirit of God in our lives. And alcohol is a terrible thing that causes people to say things and do things that are unholy before the Lord. God help us to overcome the temptations for anything of that sort. God can give us the comfort we need in the hour that we need. Yesterday, He protected my life. I made one of the stupidest mistakes I've made in a long time. My utility trailer was parked so that the back of it was up off the ground. I dropped the gate, and it was almost straight up and down. And I thought I could load my lawnmower. And I drove that lawnmower up that gate, not remembering that the front of that lawnmower has absolutely no weight on it. The motor's on the back. And that 24-horsepower Kawasaki engine back there weighs a pretty good chunk. And when I got that thing almost up to the top, it just came right back over on top of me. All I could do was say, "Lord, help me, please." About that time, I hit the ground with the mower on top of me. I was pinned to the ground by it. I tried working myself out. I thought about getting in my pocket and getting my cell phone. I said, if I call my wife to come out here and help me, she's going to be scared to death. So I slid a little by little. I finally got out from under the arm of it. I checked myself. I stood up. I was hurting right here in my hip. I'm hurting right here under my arm. I got a cut over here on this side. But all I could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I could have broke my back. That boar probably weighs, Gary, 600 pounds or more, probably 800 pounds. And it came over on top of me. And I mean from 4 foot up off the ground almost, you know. And I'm able to be here today. I'm hurting a little bit, but that hurt's just a good reminder, stupid, don't do that again, you know. God protected me. I was like Peter in the waves, Lord, help. And He did help. He protected me and preserved my life. Jesus' words are wonderful. They are such as give life to believers. His words are spirit and truth. Thirdly, there's the wonder of salvation in His name. John 1:11-12, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. People who are not saved stand at the judgment. They would give all the wealth they have ever obtained to be saved. They would give all they could if they could just change and go to heaven instead of going to hell. My friend, all you had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John wrote in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, He's wonderful. What a wonder. The disciples saw and heard. Amazing. They got to be with Him, physically see Him and touch Him and hear Him speak and see the works that He did. What a wonder. His sermon, His words had healing. He had miracle-working power in the words that He spoke. And He was wonderful to sinners. He was patient with man. Peter's one of those boisterous guys that takes the bull by the horns and takes 5 steps before he puts his brain in gear, like we do sometimes. And our Lord was patient with him, forgiving with him when he denied him. And He's been patient with you and me. The Bible calls it long-suffering. He's been long-suffering so that we could be saved. Jesus dealt with a woman. They brought her to Him. They threw her down on the ground. They said, this woman was found in adultery. The law says, stone her to death. What do you say? Jesus stooped down on the ground and wrote with His finger. He paused for a moment, writing on the ground. He might have been writing that commandment. He might have been writing the word forgiveness. I don't know what he wrote. Nobody does. But he looked up and said to them, let the man who's without sin cast the first stone at her. Immediately, his words brought conviction in their heart. They knew they were all sinners. And so they went away one by one. Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "Lord, there are none." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He gave her another opportunity, and he forgave her of her sin. Wonderful that he cares for us. Wonderful that if we follow him, he will provide our needs. The group that followed him to hear him speak, he fed 5,000 with that lad's lunch for that day. Wonderful. His birth, his life, his words, his works, the transformation that every person who is saved has gone through, from living a life of sin with strong desire, is changed, and now living for the Lord with strong desire, is all because of him. He is wonderful. He takes us out of the pit of sin. He opens our eyes to truth. He enlightens us to understand his word. We now have a power we did not have before to live for him and serve him and obey him. How wonderful. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting him into your life, praying to him that he would save you. Three times I've rescued people from drowning. I was at a party once at the lake, a fish cookout. A young girl got on a life raft and floated out in the water. She was kind of afraid of water, but her parents got involved and didn't pay her attention, and the tide, as you say, in the river just caused her to go back outwards, go out instead of in deeper water instead of coming to the shore. When she realized where she was, she screamed and fell off the raft and sank. And I ran down the hill, dove straight in, and when I came up, I had her in my hands and got her out and took her out to safety. Had a young woman who was in a swimming pool with a young boy who was mentally retarded. He did not understand that she was an adult, but she couldn't swim. And he grabbed her by her hands and pulled her out into deeper water, and she was screaming and kicking. I dove in and got her when she went under and pulled her out. My wife and I were out at the lake one night late with some other people. I heard some pops. I didn't recognize that it was gunfire. I thought it was firecrackers. They'd been shooting firecrackers out there. I heard a blood-curdling scream of somebody in bad shape. And I ran that way, and I threw my wallet back to my wife behind me, and I dove in the water. This woman was out there trying to hold a man's head up out of the water, and her boat was sinking right beside him. They were drinking real bad. And she had tried to back the boat out, but forgot they took the plug out of it and let the water run out as they drove around. It was sinking. He got in the boat. She wouldn't get out of the way. He smacked her. Bam. She went in the pocketbook and put two slugs in his stomach. He fell out of the boat and was drowning. I pulled him to safety, and then we found out what had happened. But those people, their life was saved. But when Jesus saves somebody, he gives you eternal life, and you're saved forevermore. Your values will change. You begin to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. There's wonderful liberation from habitual sin that's had you. When you get saved, God can deliver you from the power of sin. You can walk in newness of life. Those in hell today do not see wonders, miracles, encouragement, patience. They're in darkness, in fire, in pain, in suffering, in thirst, in the absence of love, in the absence of God. So where can you go and God's not there? You go to hell, God won't be there for you. Though by his Spirit, he can be in all places at all times. Every day, we awake to a wonderful life if we're saved. It isn't just Jimmy Stewart that found out his life really meant something. So everybody who gets saved, you find out God has a purpose for you now. And you've really got a wonderful life. God can use you to His honor and His glory. Every Sunday is the Lord's day. We come and sing these wonderful songs to our wonderful God. Think on the wonder of His promises and the future that we have to look forward to. Let us serve Him and please Him and dedicate ourselves in this new year of 2023, that we keep our focus on lifting up Jesus. He's wonderful. He's worthy of every sacrifice that we make. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you're saved today, you'll have the privilege of being there when He is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the one we worship as wonderful, we will rejoice that He receives praise and adoration for all He has done and for who He is. Our Lord is wonderful. Let's stand together. Father, bless Your people today. Help us to make any decisions we ought to make. Help us to renew our dedication to You in this new year. Help us to think about our Lord who is wonderful and serve You and please You with what we say and do. We offer ourselves to You. We thank You for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.